The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jim, and JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
I say, just bring him on. It always works best anyway.
Oh, looking like this.
Well, we have to start recording. It is Footy Prime. It is Thursday morning, honest. No, Wednesday morning. What day is it?
It's Wednesday morning,
okay.
Well, Wednesday, 11 o'clock, let's say.
Right.
Let's pretend.
Right. We'll soon be joined by Richie Larea, one of Footy Prime's all-time favorites.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
Well, there's three of us who said we could make the Richie time. And Canada Soccer and Richie have kept us waiting for an hour.
Oh, damn.
That's 3 man hours in my mind. A lot of things could be done in 3 man hours. We could have had 3 hour-long naps.
Mm-hmm.
We could have cooked 3 roasts.
Actually, I did cook in the extra time. I was cooking, waiting for the... I don't generally cook dinner in the morning. I was making a Kung Pao chicken dinner, and I was going to do it after the interview. But as they were delayed, I thought I'll jump the gun and I'll get onto it. And it's all there, ready, about to be served. And then we got the call that Richie's ready for us.
Oh, are you culturally appropriating Kung Pao chicken?
Yeah, it's the white man version. It's not nearly as good. But yeah, that's Wonga and Craig's arm Shams. Do you see yesterday Jesse Marsh was talking about why Marcelo Lopez?
No, Flores.
All right, Flores, thank you. Flores isn't with the team. He was hoping to bring him in. And Jesse actually threw himself under the bus, just saying how essentially he got it wrong, what type of international this will be. Of course, Marcelo coming off a 2-goal performance, his club won in there at Tigres, yada, yada, yada. But it's refreshing in sports nowadays to hear a manager, whether it's true or not, offer to throw himself under the bus, not someone else, Craig.
Well, what do you mean? You might be telling exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought it was one of those types of internationals that they could get away with. They certainly don't want to take any chances if he still wants to leave his options open, which he clearly does.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's no controversy here whatsoever. I just thought so often in sports now, it's rare that anyone will fall on their sword, even on the most minor thing that isn't controversial at all, isn't a big deal. Be like, no, it wasn't me. It was someone else.
Just wait for the headlines on Friday, Sherms. Three Canada Soccer employees let go.
Yeah, exactly. Massive error costs the future of Marcelo Flores' international future.
Yeah, that's right. He's ours.
Yeah.
No, it was refreshing. It was an interesting take, and it actually he gave us some insight on Marcelo's life down there, with his 2 sisters who play, his family, his attachment to Mexico. It was quite interesting.
Well, they've had quite a journey, the whole family, because when Marcelo was 12, I think, maybe 13, the whole family, Ipswich discovered him just on this fluke. I think the coach's name will come to me, but he was down in the Caribbean, and I think Marcelo and the family were on holiday, and he was just sort of standing around. He said, "Hey, do you want to join in? Play in this little camp they've got." And within, I think, the end of the session, he was talking to his dad saying, "We've got to get him over to Ipswich." And they literally like packed up the family at Guelph, because he and his dad, Ruben, who was coaching at Guelph Soccer Club, they moved the whole family over to Ipswich. Hopefully. And then at 17, and the girls were a bit younger, I think. Yeah, they are. And then when he was 17, Ipswich sold him for £500,000 to Arsenal. So that's how he ended up at Arsenal. Didn't quite crack it there. And then his sister ended up playing for Arsenal's women's setup. And his other sister was playing as well. So all three of them were playing. So they all went through this sort of upbringing over in England. And then they ended up playing, the girls are playing for Mexico as well.
Wow.
Yeah. That's like quite a trip. And then he played in Spain because they Arsenal sent him on, Arteta sent him on loan into Spain. And I'm not sure how that went over there for him. Like, obviously not well enough where Arsenal decided, you know, they decided to let him go, right?
Oh, so he's full contract by Tigres in Liga MX? So full under contract?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love seeing how the game can create these lives for people and families, right? Yeah, stress, and there's a lot on the player. But, I mean, you're banking that he's going to be pretty good. Speaking of pretty good, our favorite guy that wears the Canadian red, I think it's fair to say, is Footy Prime. It's Richie Larea joining us. Richie, welcome back to Footy Prime. It's been way too long, mate. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you guys for having me.
Can you hear us properly? Can you hear us?
I can hear you guys. Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure this AirPod doesn't fall out of my ear.
Right.
So last time I saw Richie, we were at the Raptors game, which they gave us really good seats, basically courtside. But we're all set up with the mascots and Maple and whatever the other ones are called.
Yeah. We could hear Doc Rivers' tactics. That's how close we were.
Yeah.
Well, I think Craig also talked about eating who was it? The Milwaukee Bucks, if it's Doc Rivers, right? You were trying to eat their food?
Yeah, there's some Hubba Bubba that I haven't had since I've been like 10 years old. I want to steal some, but I just couldn't pull myself to do it.
That's amazing. Are you a big Raptors guy, Richie?
Yeah. I enjoy, honestly, all the Toronto sports enjoy going to. So, yeah, Raptors is definitely a game that the games I definitely like going to, and then been to a decent amount of Leafs playoff game, regular season games as well. So enjoyable. And then the Blue Jays, he got to game 6 against Seattle, which was a really fun game to be at. Yeah. Big Toronto sports guy.
He's a good company man. MLSC signs his check. So no. He's going to love every game.
Yeah. Leafs, is it enjoyable, Richie? I don't know about that.
MLSC really
the game,
look
the game I went to was enjoyable. Yeah, they do. MLSC does definitely look after us. But the Leafs game I went to was pretty sure they won the one that I went to. So that was fun.
Yeah. That was the one, was it? No, yep. I'm joking. They pretty good. 7 games in second round. That was all right. That's one thing though. I mean, all you guys under the same MLSC umbrella, Raptors, Leafs, TFC, are there many events throughout the year where you get to hang out with each other?
I've done a few since I've been at TFC, but there's definitely not. I think there could be more. I think it'd be cool to be able to get together with those guys. They can pick their brain, they can pick our brain. Obviously, different sports, different types of pressure. So I think it'd be cool to maybe get in contact with them more. But yeah, we've done some things where we go to their games, exchange jerseys, and get to speak to them a little bit. We had Mitch Marner come, I don't know if it was last year, the year before that, he came and he popped into the dressing room and spoke to us a bit. So there's a little bit of crossover.
Yeah. Well, you'll be the cool guy pretty soon, right? World Cup coming this summer, you know. They'll all be wanting a ticket, trying to get in there somehow. So you're at camp. It's a young camp, but there's a few of you veterans there. There's 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds. I mean, are they really annoying?
They're actually not. You know, they've been good. They're respectful. They're willing to learn. It's honestly been good. We had a little bit of an inner squad today, actually. So it's good to see them grasping everything pretty quickly and wanting to learn. They're eager. I think they realize, you know, what it means to play for this national team and how difficult and how demanding it is. So it's been really nice to see them grow these last 4 or 5 days. And I think, it'll only get better. And I think this is actually going to be a super impactful moment for them in their careers to take, you know, forward, being able to, you know, see guys like Oso, Kamal, Joel, guys that come in all the time, to see the way they work, see the way they train, see the way they play, and they can, you know, take little things. That's what I used to do when I was younger. I feel like I would take a little bit of everything that the older guys were doing and try to put it into my game to, you know, help me. So I'm sure they're doing the exact same thing.
And you personally, Richie, are your fitness, obviously you've been off, haven't played competitively for quite a while. Everybody's kind of in different fitness levels. How are you personally? And do you think you could get through 90 minutes? I think you probably could, but like.
I feel pretty good. Yeah, no, I feel pretty good right now. Had a pretty decent off season in terms of training and staying fit and all the things. I didn't take too much time off, which I think is important. So yeah, I feel pretty good. 90 minutes, I think, would be a stretch right now. I don't know if I want to shock my body like that this early in the year, but no, I'm getting there. I would say I'm about 80-85% around there, fitness, and still need to get sharper ball. And you know how it goes. You can run on a treadmill, you can run outside. As soon as you start touching the ball and dribbling and all those things, it feels a lot more tiring than it did a couple months ago when you're in season. So,
yeah.
Well, what's the 2 weeks ago was just 3 weeks ago was just our holiday season, Christmas and New Year's. What was your daily kind of regimen while you're off, off season? Is it hitting the gym every day? Did you give yourself a break? What was your kind of through the holidays, knowing you had this camp waiting for you?
Yeah, we have a program. They sent us out a program. The guys here sent a program. The guys at Toronto sent a program. So I was kind of following that. It almost was pretty much every day something was happening, and usually weekends off. So it was good. I was able to, you know, be more of a dad than I'm usually able to be while I'm in season. So look, pretty big initiative on that, waking up with the kids and stuff like that. So yeah, it was good. Good mix of family time and then working out and staying fit. But yeah, just a lot of gym, a lot of being able to get outside and run and stuff like that and get into the facility as well. So yeah, I feel like it was pretty balanced between making sure I'm fit and ready for this camp, which is really important, which leads into with Toronto as well. But then also, you know, saving some time for family as well, which is also very important.
Happy for you to get away for a couple of days, I'm sure.
Yeah. don't tell my missus that, but yeah. Sleep's been unbelievable. Yeah,
well, we'll keep it dark.
does Canada talk to TFC regarding the programs? You're not getting two like very different programs, right? Which are obviously going to be
impossible. No, they're pretty in sync. So obviously yeah. Pierre was at Toronto and knows the medical staff and strength and conditioning and all of that there. So they're pretty in line with each other, which is good. So it's the same program. It's just, you know, some different things on different days, you know, and I think we all have our own customized programs for position, you know, how much you run, all the things. So yeah, they were definitely a lot of communication between the two.
Since you had those hamstring injuries the last couple of years, has your training changed? Do you do any different processes now?
Yeah, unfortunately, it takes me 30 minutes to 45 minutes to now warm up and do pre-op before training, you know, just doing different things that I need to make sure things are firing well. And just with the medical staff, with the strength people, just, you know, it's part of it, you know, getting back-to-back injuries in my hamstring 2 years in a row or at the same time. I think it's important to really hone in and, you know, make sure these things are all good. So yeah, pretty lengthy activation before training, before games, and then once we're done, getting in with the medical staff and just different types of treatments and, you know, stuff like that. So it's definitely been a big emphasis for me for the second one, and yeah, just trying to remain on top of it as best as possible.
Have you had a chance to bump into Tommy Wheeldon?
I have, yeah. He actually, we did an inner squat today, and he was reffing the game actually. So I was giving him some stick today. You know, yeah, I like awesome. To. I was. I had to apologize a few times, but he knows. It's just in the heat of the moment.
I'm just happy that Richie's as bit of a dick as he is in real games as he is in training. Like, he's literally doing it in training too.
The competition takes over. Yeah, it takes over. The competitor takes over, and
yeah,
we high five and hug after. But yeah, it was great. He did a good job.
we had Tommy on not that long ago, right? And he was like really looking forward to meeting you. And like,
really?
With you. Yeah. He mentioned your name. He goes, yeah, I can't wait to see Oso and Richie. And now you've just, you know, don't meet your heroes.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know?
No, I actually just saw him in the elevator. We were on the elevator together coming down for me to speak to you guys, and we had a good chat. So, no, he's a good guy. It's been nice to have him in camp as well.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
We mentioned your, you know, how the mist descends and you're uber competitive when that whistle goes. You cross those lines. Are there any younger players in the squad that might be the next Richie Larea that you've noticed has that kind of similar angst about them when they're actually, you know, all of their feet?
Yeah, I think Zoran has it a bit. I see him in training and even in games, you know, he has a fiery side to him. Jaden also has it. So Jaden Nelson. So yeah, I mean, there's a few guys, and I feel like once you get in here and you start adapting to the way we play and the way we do things, it's almost becomes a part of you. You know, you have to start adapting some of that because it's, you know, the DNA of the way we play. We're front-footed, we're aggressive. So, you know, it just leads to you maybe sometimes being a little bit angry, which is fine on the football pitch. And then yeah, it just translates into I think a better game for us. You know, for me in particular, I feel like it helps me hone in and really concentrate and take my individual battles and duels really seriously, take the game very seriously. It's the way I've been since I've been a kid. I don't like losing. I don't like losing battles, for instance, now. So yeah, just see it in those two guys. There's a few other guys, but I think everyone now, the national team, has at least a little bit of it, which is good.
You know, you live on the edge a little bit, where you play on the edge, and, you know, refereeing is so different, certainly internationally, than you can get maybe in MLS or what you get in England or in other countries or other parts of the world. Do you look and know who the referee is, know maybe about his history, obviously in MLS, but maybe internationally, and how far you might be able to push it?
Yeah, I definitely know what games I need to, you know, maybe chill a little bit, and what games I can hit the pedal full pedal to the metal. Yeah, so there's some refs that are a little bit more strict than I know, and maybe now I've created a little bit of a reputation, so they as well are, you know, looking out for me while I'm not looking out for me, but looking out for what I'm doing, I guess I should say, on the pitch. So those referees, I won't name them, but yeah, I know when to be full-blown Richie, and some days where I have to scale it back just a little bit. So,
well, hopefully they're not at the World Cup.
Yeah, I pray to God they're not, because...
But, you know, Richie, I think, though, sometimes what's lost in your game, because people see this, you know, this character out there and they expect to see you play it on the edge, never going over the edge, but on that line, but you're also a really good footballer, right? And almost the caricature of Richie overshadows that sometimes, I think. You switch from right back to left back with Canada just so seamlessly, to the point now where a lot of people are saying you've got to be the starting left back and we'll find a place of Fonzie somewhere else at the World Cup. Was it just natural for you to switch left to right, wherever it is in the pitch?
Yeah, I think the biggest learning for me was 2019. It was my first season at right back. The credit Greg Vanney and his staff, Jason Bentz as well in particular, spent a lot of time with me as I was becoming a right back. And obviously, ironically enough, Robin Fraser actually as well, who's obviously now my head coach at Toronto. You know, I think there's a big emphasis from all of them to help me adapt to that position. I was lucky enough to have Jason Bentz that played the position. Vanny played a little bit of left back. And then Robin and Dan Kalishman were both center backs. So it was nice to those guys, because they're very helpful. So I felt like I grew and learned a lot in 2019, made a bunch of mistakes, but I was able to learn from them and continue to play and develop. And then in 2020, I think we lost Justin Morrow for a little bit. So it was me, Aro, and I remember who, a few, we got Tony Gallagher, I'm pretty sure, on loan for a little bit from Liverpool. He was at Liverpool before. So we were thin in the position. So I remember Greg just coming to me and saying, like, oh, I'm going to try you at, see how it goes, how you fare there. And then, yeah, again, just, they're very attentive. They're, I don't know if you guys know them well or not, they pay attention to every single detail. So I did a lot of film, a lot of one-on-one sessions with them, and yeah, they helped me just feel comfortable at the position, when being able, like you see with a lot of fullbacks now, invert, to midfield, stare higher up the pitch, build in a three, whatever it might be. They took me through all of that. So it's definitely helps. That 2020 season, playing a lot of it, I left me really understand, you know, both sides and being able to play, how important it is to be, know how to play both sides as well.
Richie, you last year, I was looking at, I was trying to see the last time we had you on, and everything, Footy Prime loved you last year. We literally had you on all our thumbnails across the board. And actually, I'm not fanboy. I'm just telling you, I was asked to vote for who the player of the year was. You were my player of the year. The amount of work that you did in all of the internationals and friendlies, you stood out, and to the point where Sharms is just talking about, hey, Richie's got to be on the pitch. How did that feel not knowing that we're talking about you, but knowing that you were doing so well?
Yeah, no, it was big time, especially, you know, going back to my second hamstring injury and then, you know, being rushed with that and then having to work back from that and then fully being able to be ready right before Gold Cup and playing against Charlotte with TFC and then being able to play the Canadian Shield and then Gold Cup. I think that was really important for me, just confidence wise. And yeah, playing in those games with Toronto, playing with the games of the national team, I don't take those lightly. So, you know, being able to feel like myself last season was definitely really good, whereas in 2024, I feel like when I came back from my surgery, it took me some time and I didn't feel like I was myself until literally the last game of the season and the season was over, versus this year, I think just, again, I put more into it, more attention to detail, and then, yeah, being able to feel like performing at a good level, felt like my good, felt strong, felt fit, all the things. And yeah, from a football perspective, felt like I was doing all the right things on the pitches, or majority of the time doing the right things on the pitch. It just helps you confidence-wise. So I think Gold Cup was really big for me, being able to get majority of the games, and apart from the one against Curaçao. And yeah, I think I kind of just took that back to Toronto after, and then into the three other windows to end the year. But yeah, I felt good to feel like myself again and then playing at that level.
You're probably a better dad and a better husband too, aren't you, going home?
Yeah. Not as miserable because I'm not injured, so you know.
That's, exactly.
That's how good. Yeah. Again, Christ.
Yeah.
Richie, do you prefer a good crunching tackle, or do you prefer a, you know, a great overlapping run and spinning the space and sending it all across? Like, what do you love?
Yeah, I think early on, I definitely would have said overlap and put it in a good cross and get an assist, which I still do very much so enjoy that. But yeah, I feel like there's something as I've become more and more of a fullback through the years, that the defensive part does really excite me. Like I said to you, the duels, especially at the internet, at club as well, the league has so many good wingers. I think it's kind of gets slept on how many, really every team has a good winger, or even now two that you're coming up against. So it's usually, you know, a tough match. And then at the international, you know, you're playing against some of the clubs, I mean, some of the nations we played against, you're playing against some of the best in the world in that position. So yeah, it becomes personal, becomes, like I said to you, duels. So like being able to leave a match, you know, against Colombia and come up against someone really good or whoever it may be and feel like you've done a really good job against the opposing winger who's playing, you know, top five leagues or here or there, whatever it might be. I think I now enjoy the defensive part. So yeah, I would say getting a crunching tackle in on a winger in the world is definitely a good feeling. I think it helps confidence-wise too.
Yeah.
I can imagine. You have a new center back, of course, at TFC, right? Walker Zimmerman unveiled yesterday for the first time. I'm sure you've had some battles over the years, you know, on facing him. Very, very accomplished center back. I imagine that the feeling right now at TFC is pretty good. I mean, it's always hopeful at camp, right? No matter who the team is. But given what happened last year, some of the new guys coming in, rumored new faces as well. How is the camp feeling there?
Yeah, I've actually met him, have exchanged text messages a couple of times leading up to him signing and stuff like that. So we've been in communication. He seems like a great guy. I've always been able to admire him from far just because of, you know, the accolades he has as a center back. I think it's a really, really good addition to our team, and he's going to really help solidify things back there for Yeah, we've had we joked through text about now not having to come against each other and being on the same team, because we've had a few battles, and we specifically spoke about, I don't know if you remember the play, there was the one in Gold Cup where me and him were running into the channel together, and then I thought it should have been a penalty, and he was yelling it wasn't a penalty, so we kind of joked about that on text message.
I'm sure you're both very calm about it, right? I'm sure.
Yes, yeah.
they paper scissor rocked it. Yeah. They went like this.
Yeah, no, it's good to have him. I'm excited to be able to play alongside him and then just see, experience the leadership, all the things he's going to bring to the back line, but more importantly to the entire team. So I think it was a really good sign-in.
That's one thing about Major League Soccer, is that from one year to the next, teams can improve massively, where you don't see that in most other leagues in the world, do you?
No, yeah, that is, I guess you could say, the beauty of the league is one year you can go from struggling to the next year you're up for every title. You know, you see it last year with Philly. They don't make playoffs the year before and they won Supporters Shield. So it's like, it's doable. Right. It's more than capable of happening. So I think it's just about getting the right people, the right fits in the building, getting the team gelling in a good way, and yeah, possible. So that's, I think, something everyone at the club will have their sights on, is, you know, seems like we've got some good guys coming into the building, and then just solidifying the group that we already have, and yeah, just getting after it the best way possible. So definitely really excited for the season to start.
Almost out of time here, but I want to talk about your goalkeeper this year at TFC and also at camp right now with you at Canada. So Sean Johnson leaves TFC. He was fantastic, I thought, you know, in some pretty trying times. But Luca Gavron's been there for a long time, younger player. Can you tell us your thoughts on him as a goalkeeper? Because whenever he's put the gloves on for TFC, he's never let the team down.
Yeah, no, he's obviously, I think, as you guys know, as whoever watches Toronto, the fans know, he has a huge ceiling, you know, his frame, you know, the body of work that you could see when he does play, it's all positive. So yeah, seeing him in camp here and even in a couple of the camps here to end the year, seeing him, being able for him, like for him to be able to see Dane, Max, and see the way these guys work and the level they are at, I think is good. And I think he had an exceptional guy to look at in the last three seasons in Sean and what he's puts in every day. And well, he performed for Toronto for me almost every single game. And, you know, I think all of those things mixed together for Lucas, seeing Sean, seeing Dane, seeing Max, I think will all only benefit him in a good way. And he needs to take all that on board and, you know, implement it into his game. So yeah, I'm really excited for him. I think it's nice to see the club taking a chance on a young player, a young goalkeeper, a Canadian player as well, which is, you know, not something that was happening few years back when I was a rookie in the league. Young players weren't getting chances the way they're getting chances now. So the fact that they're a club like Toronto's leaving it for him to take the position and make it his own is a really cool moment, I'm sure, for him and his family. And I know he's super excited. So I'm excited for him as well. I think he's a great goalkeeper already now. And I think the ceiling for him is as high as he wants it to be. So yeah, looking forward to seeing him in action this season, and I'm sure he's going to have a great season and an even better career.
I'm going to sneak one more in there, Richie. A lot of people would argue you're one of the people they don't want to play against in CONCACAF, in MLS. Who do you hate playing against? Who drives Richie Larea crazy?
I mean, I could think of a couple names, to be honest, but yeah. I would say... Yeah.
Apparently it's everyone.
No, like I said to you guys earlier, I think the league has so many good wingers. And again, I think it's just underrated how, you know, difficult that part of the game is. I don't think people really pay a lot of attention to it. So, and like, you know, MLS games, you know, second half get stretched at times. So sometimes as a back four, you're on an island. So yeah, I've had battles against several different people that have been, you know, tough for me. But I guess if I could one person, let me.
Or two.
Is that what you're looking for? One, okay.
One or two people. Yeah, I like names. I like when people drop.
Yeah. Playing against Argentina defending against, I mean, I wasn't going to say Messi because I didn't even come up against him too much, but playing against someone like Di Maria was very, very challenging. You know, what a player. He's all left-footed, but it was still difficult to manage and contain him. That was a tough match. And then another one I would just say was France. It was, I think, my first game back with the national team from injury in 2024. And I mean, Mbappe is on the field, Dembele is on the field. There's just so many, you know, different guys with different skill sets. So yeah, I mean, games like that, it's like, not that I hate it. It's, I wouldn't say it's fun going against guys like that because it's obviously challenging, but it's good. It's good to be able to measure yourself up with, you know, the best in the world in those positions. So playing against them was tough. And then even for some moments when me and Nico Seagor got switched over against Colombia, going up against Luis Diaz, he was, you know, electric, quick, fast. So yeah, it's the international level. I feel like all the wingers are also good. So it takes a high level of concentration. And then, yeah, like I said, in league again, I think every game you play, there's the winger is good. So you just kind of have to dial in and make it a personal battle, which definitely like to do. So
there's some names you mentioned there. Di Maria, Mbappe, Dembele, I mean, Diaz. This is a Canadian guy experiencing this in his career. It shows how far we've grown, I think, as a nation, right? And our players are getting these opportunities to play against these players. It's brilliant. Listen, Richie, we're out of time. Get back to camp, whatever you're doing tonight. I'm sure some kind of weird team building thing, you know, you guys do.
Yeah. We'll see what we have in store today.
Watching movies. Those listening yeah. In the morning, so forget I just said that. But yeah, anyway, listen, have a great one. Have a good game against Guatemala. I'm assuming you might not get 90 minutes, but I dare say you'll get a good number of minutes. So enjoy that. And let's chat to you real soon, ahead of maybe TFC's kickoff this season.
Sounds good. Nice to see you guys. Nice to chat as well.
Awesome.
Great seeing you, Reggie. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Pat.
See you guys. Bye.
That is Richie Larea, once again, delivering on the pod. So I don't know, we said it before, I don't know if I've ever met a player, an athlete, who has such two distinct personalities on and off the pitch, right? Craig, you mentioned teammates in the past who were very different. The minute they crossed the line, the mist descended, right?
Yeah.
Imagine Richie's got to be right up there with the most.
Craig was one of them. You've seen him in the box.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, maybe.
You didn't want to get on the wrong side of Craigor, I don't think. Jimmy probably got yelled at a lot.
I got yelled at a lot?
No, Jimmy.
Oh, jeez, my God.
Of course he did.
You know,
well,
I
listen,
did.
Richie, thanks so much. That was really enjoyed that. And it's Footy Prime. We'll talk more about that and more on tomorrow's podcast. Can't figure out when that is because I keep messing up when we're recording this at the moment. But we have Asa Rahman, I believe.
Coming on up later this week, yeah.
Yeah, talk some caps and some Canada.
Yep.
Variety of topics there. And we'll get, as I mentioned, we'll get JMO on very soon as well. We'll hit some Montreal as we've been gearing up for the MLS season. It's like it just finished, isn't it? It's crazy. I know it's a long preseason, but the fact that they're back in camps this week is a little bit crazy.
Yeah, second week of January. Everyone's back.
Yeah, they'll be here for a couple of days and then heading somewhere hot. Right. Anyway, that's Footy Prime. Like, subscribe, check out our newsletter. You can sign up to that on wearefootyprime.com. That's every Friday. So
And best of drop on Saturday.
Right.
Just a reminder.
Yeah, Prime. More than we need, really. But too bad.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. Check us out on Instagram at footyprimeIG and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter if we ever make one.
Richie was great.
Absolutely.
He's always amazing.